It's Thursday, November 12th, and you're listening to the Geek at Geek News Central, the longest running tech podcast. This is show number 816, sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com. Our November special for all new and existing GoDaddy customers, $495.coms. Use promo code GEEK495 or take 20% off your total order using promo code GO20OFF2. Hey folks, got a great show lined up for you. I'm glad to be back here in Honolulu. You know what comes next. Strap in. Here it comes.
All right, people, I need a go-no-go for the Geek News Central podcast. Digital archive recorders.
We're go fly.
Microphone.
We're go fly.
Video feed.
Go.
Web browser.
Go.
RSS data stream aggregator.
Go fly.
Interflux Toddism suppressor.
All right, I'm confused.
Host readiness check.
Welcome to the show. Welcome to the show.
The Geek News Central podcast is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are ready to go. Cue Todd in...
5.
Button, who's got the button?
4.
There is no cause for alarm.
3.
Everybody hold on to something.
2.
Just press the button.
1.
It's showtime.
Aloha and welcome to Geek News Central, coming to you as live as it can be from the beautiful state of Hawaii via the Geek News Central studio, overlooking greater Honolulu. Everyone, welcome to the show. And I tell you, it's I'm glad to be back here in Hawaii and be back... really in the saddle in Command Central and not working from my portable studio. That is absolutely fantastic to be back here. But I got a lot to share with you tonight. We've got a lot of tech news to talk about. Happy Veterans Day to all of you that are veterans out there. Thank you for serving. Thank you for your dedication to the country. Appreciate that. And of course, I want to give a warm welcome to all of the Ohana. And those of you that are longtime listeners and viewers of the show, thanks for being here. If you're brand new to the show, we want to welcome you, of course. Thank you for checking us out. And definitely, you definitely want to get subscribed to the show. We'll go into that here in just a second and how you can do that. But just as a reminder, everyone, you can watch this show real easily if you don't get it live on the Roku, Boxy, Samsung Smart TV, Google TV, Apple TV, you name it, all the different devices. Of course, you can watch with your tablet, your Kindle, your iPad, all the different devices you can watch or listen to the show. So don't forget that you can catch the show post-show. That's the best way to listen to it at your leisure. So I want to take just a second here, and being that we are back in the studio here in Honolulu, I'm going to flip over. I've got my iPad loaded up here. And just want to show you a little trick here. If you are over on geeknewscentral.com's website, you're going to see a box that says subscribed and show page. And basically, if you want to subscribe to a show, let's say you want to subscribe to the Gadget Professor, all you got to do with your iPad or your iPhone is click on the RSS feed, and it's going to automatically load the show. And we're, of course, so I'm going to go ahead and say subscribe to the podcast. And that's going to load the Gadget Professor up so that you'll be able to basically stay abreast of what's going on with the Gadget Professor. But more importantly, we want you to definitely subscribe to Geek News Central here. We want to subscribe to this show. And don't forget as well, you can get signed up for the newsletter. And the newsletter is a great way to stay abreast of what's going on. And it's right there at the top of the website. You click on that button. And all that's going to do is that's going to take you to the newsletter page. It's going to let you get signed up for the newsletter so that you can follow what's going on with the show. And what's going to happen is I will send out an email immediately following the show that really covers everything that I've covered tonight. It's going to have all the links and basically any special announcements I'm making. Don't forget that the extensive show notes are at gncshownotes.com. But if you're signed up for the newsletter, you'll get that show notes delivered directly to your inbox with a link to the show and everything else. So definitely check that out. And those of you that are subscribing, we want to thank you for doing so. Share the show with your friends. Tell people about it. And that helps us keep the numbers going up. And it's really, really important. So as always, you can reach me on Twitter at Geek News. And just follow me over there on Twitter. That just takes 15 seconds. Email me here if you ever want to on comments about the show, things that are going on, geeknews@gmail.com. And, of course, our show hotline is at 619-342-7365. Now, One thing to remember is that on the Geek News Central website, and let me actually bring this down, you can see that there's a button here that says send a comment. So all you got to do is click on that, and that's going to allow you to send a voice message to the show. You can start recording right there, and it's really slick. It's a great way to send a voicemail comment without having to pick up a phone. You just use your microphone that's on your computer, whether it be a webcam or something that's already built in, and that's a great way to get hooked up and leave a comment here. So let me go ahead and flip back to me. There we go. We got the right buttons pushed. And so again, lots of ways to contact and stay abreast of the show. And we definitely appreciate when you do so. Well, what else is in my little list here of stuff? Hey, I just want to make a reminder that we're part of the Tech Podcast Network. And, you know, take a chance and go over to techpodcast.com. Check out all the great shows over there. We're really getting ready to ramp up, do some cool stuff here in the coming months. So you want to be abreast of what's going on. And just definitely check the shows out. I'll be filling you in, of course, on what's to basically going to be happening here in the coming weeks. So I want to take just a minute, and I want to thank our sponsor, GoDaddy.com. GoDaddy's been a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. You can find all my GoDaddy promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. We've got some great deals for you this month. And, of course, if you get lost and you're trying to figure out, all right, where's all those codes at? Where did he tell me? Really, all you got to do, and I'm actually on the wrong doggone, there we go. All you got to do is scroll down to the website. You'll see the banner there for GoDaddy promo codes. Click on that. And that's going to take you in. It's going to list all the codes that we have. And this month, I got a couple of great specials for you. And actually, the $495.coms are going to last until December 7th. So you've got a little time on that. But pick up some .coms and basically use that promo code GEEK495. And then our code, our 20% off code that's good on all orders, use that promo code through the end of the year, GO20OFF2. Now, one thing that I just want to remind you guys is you can just click on those links right on the website. It'll take you over there, and it's going to show you how that special offer works. And mix and match codes. That's the best way. And what I did the other day is I picked up, had to renew a shared hosting account, so I used my 20% off code. Then I had to renew some .com, so I used my ComSale3 code. Then I had to renew some .net, some .tvs, and what I had to do with those was I used my my 20% off code too, because I kind of mix and match to find the best deal. And if you want SSL certificates or stuff there for basically anything that you can imagine as far as the savings go, you're going to find it at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here. Get those $495.coms while they last, because they're not going to last forever. That is a very special price, and you're not going to find those anywhere else. So I want to thank GoDaddy for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central. And hey, check them out and definitely say thanks when you're over there. They definitely take care of us here at GNC. All right, so let me go through my little stack here. Podcast Awards, it's almost over. Voting is just about ready to wrap up. We are here on the 12th. We've got really 3 days left, 13th, 14th, and 15th. And so get your last votes in. So definitely do that. And just to give you guys an update, we're going to have a roundtable. This guy, going to get Rob Greenlee in, find out what's going on over at Microsoft. Big news out of Microsoft today, so we'll talk about that. And also some other folks as well. And one thing I've been thinking about, folks, is I've been thinking about doing and we didn't do one last year. Think about doing a 24-hour podcast. And I talked with my mom, with my wife. And she was like, are you crazy? You kind of thought you weren't going to do another one of those because it was just killing you. And I'm thinking about it. And, you know, I guess I'm glutton for punishment. You know, and really my schedule is, even though we're here at the end of the year, is just simply incredibly, insanely busy. So, I'm looking at dates, and really there's only two dates that are actually possible. And it would be the Saturday following Thanksgiving on November 24th, or December 15th. I'm leaning more towards December 15th. It's still a bad day because everyone's in Christmas mode, but at least it would give me just about a month to be ready for that. So I got to make a decision. I'll probably make it tomorrow. If you guys get any feedback, you know, if after you guys get done being with family on Thanksgiving on Thursday and Black Friday on Friday, are you going to continue shopping on Saturday or will you guys come out, hang out with me doing a 24-hour show? That's the question that really I'm questioning myself, whether or not people will. Having it, you know, I need to have this thing like in July and not have it in November, December. But it always seems like that's the time frame that I plan it out at. So we'll see. What I'm going to do is I want to have kind of go back old school and dedicate some time to doing some new media training. And I think we can generate enough interest from content creators to get them in and do some new media training. Now, the podcast awards are going to be the ceremony. It's going to be at New Media Expo in Vegas. So we're not going to be able to burn a couple of hours there with that like we've done in years past. So we're definitely going to have to focus on, you know, really doing something, you know, that's going to be productive and we're going to spend a lot of time on and be able to have a lot of guests come in and talk about it. So anyway, that's kind of on my thought process. We definitely are trying to, as I talked about in the last show, we're trying to raise some additional money for CES. I went ahead and pulled the trigger and paid out of pocket for one additional support person to come out to Vegas. Budget is really, at this point, still pretty tight for CES. We're trying, we're working the sponsorship deals and everything. But this is a monster, and it's an expensive monster. And I do want to thank, we've had a couple of people come in and give donations. I need to get them added to the roundtable list, to the insider list. So if you, you know, if you're thinking about helping us out, this would definitely be a great time to do so. I know it's a bad time. Everyone's getting ready for the Christmas holiday and stuff. And Thanksgiving, it's never a cheap time of year. But if you can help us out, we definitely appreciate it. That will help me cover some additional expenses that we really didn't plan on. But any donation possible at geeknewscentral.com/insider is really greatly appreciated. So, you know, speaking of CES planning, man, we're in full swing. I was just absolutely crazy busy all day today getting CES stuff done. And I think we're loaded and locked and loaded. We've basically, we've never introduced our actual application page this early in the season. So we've actually put out the floor and broadcast applications already. Of course, we got our sponsorship announcement out. And I actually went into how our sponsorship works in a video to prospective sponsors. But we've got that already. And actually, we're booking people already. I just can't believe it that we're booking folks for the show this early. And we're getting hit up on. And CES Innovation Award winners were announced, I think, today. Press releases were coming out. I'm sure my inbox will be full tomorrow morning. But those folks are already saying, hey, book us. So I'm like, go fill out the application. Go out to fill out the application. So we'll see. You know, it's going to be a big show for us. And we're going to be, of course, have our broadcast booth outside in North Hall. We're not actually in the show floor this year, which is fantastic. We're out. So we've got some great things coming. We're going to be live blogging this year. I've decided we are going to do it. I'm going to be quite honestly, come hell or high water, we're going to live blog CES this year, and we're going to be able to have that updating on the website, you know, periodically, pictures and posts and stuff we're going to put up. So that'll help keep you guys engaged in what we've got going on, not even more beyond the live stuff. So we're really going to work hard at, you know, really having a great show for you this year. And we really want to beat our numbers. We want to blow out the total viewership. We are looking at the cost on streaming. We're going to have to use a commercial service. We're going to have to use Ustream, or we'll have to use Livestream. But the problem with Livestream is they don't let us take the embed and put it on a different page. So we're probably going to be on Ustream for the show. just because we have to be, because it's just a cost factor. If I was to run this stream that I'm running right now, this video stream on Amazon, and run it for 4 days straight and have the type of traffic that we're expecting, I would have to mortgage my house. It would be really that expensive. So we're looking at all options, but at this point right now, we're still going to be locked in and having Ustream as our video provider for CES, and that's comes with its own pain because, you know, they're going to be running ads on top of our content. But you know, when we have 14, 15,000 people on the live stream, it gets pretty crazy. All right, what else have I got in my stack here? Taking some downtime next week. I've been, you guys notice I've been taking, you know, basically what I'm doing is really trying to reset, focus on a few things. I'm still going to be doing the shows, but going to kind of, you know, shift my priorities. And I'm going to take a couple of weeks and really have some down. I'm going to take the week of Thanksgiving, kind of have like a little downtime week. And then, you know, when I say downtime for me, that means working like 5 hours instead of 18 hours. because literally that's what I do. And try to spend a little extra time with the family and everything else. It's work can consume me. And it gets a little insane at times, and I'm trying to be better. I manage my time well. I get a lot done, but there's just typically never enough hours in a day. And of course, I had dinner with Jack Ellis, one of our executive producers here at Geek News Central, when I was out in Dallas, and he says, "How do you do it, dude? I just don't know how you do it." And sometimes I wonder myself, but. I'm going to have a full week this week, then a little bit of a down. And of course, I'm talking about doing a 24-hour show on Saturday. So that's really not downtime, right? But it is what it is, and I'm going to do what I have to do. But sometimes you got to make hay when the sun shines, but also you got to enjoy the sun just a little bit as well. All right, let's go ahead and take care of our last sponsor spot, and then we'll get into the extensive tech content I have for you tonight. And for those of you that have popped into the stream, I want to welcome you guys to the show. And let's see if we can move this. Can I do that? Nope, I'm on the wrong one. There we go. Let's do this a little bit. Bing, there we are. Hey, you guys know, meetings are really essential way in which we work. And it's an opportunity to share ideas, problem solve, and really develop creative solutions. And oftentimes, you know, it's 10 heads or 5 heads or 4 heads or 2 heads are better than 1. But if your team is spread out in different locations like mine are, you know, coming together where we're face-to-face can be, it's just an impossible task. We're physically all in the same room. That's unless you're using GoToMeeting with HD faces. It's really a powerful and simple way to meet and collaborate online. You know, GoToMeeting has really been allow us to show colleagues different things, be able to discuss with ease. It's a total convenience because I can have a GoToMeeting session running. Someone can pop in and say, "Hey, Todd, this is what I've got going on." Angela can pop in and say, "Hey, this is an issue I've seen. Hey, can you help this guy out on this?" And blah, blah, you know, it just kind of works. And, you know, the benefit of being able to see each other and share the same screen is pretty cool. And oftentimes, you know, oftentimes there'll be 2 or 3 of us in the GoToMeeting session, we'll just leave it running. And, you know, and it's kind of a way for to bust on each other too, because, you know, it's like we're doing office hours. So it really works for us. So no matter where everyone's located, GoToMeeting allows you to share the same screen, making it easier for everyone to be on the same page. And with the built-in HD video conference, you can see each other's face-to-face. And it's really easy to launch a meeting from anywhere using your computer, iPhone, or tablet. And really, this is fantastic. I can run on the tablet and demonstrate as well. So again, you can present with the iPad, and that's just been a complete game changer for me. So what I want you to do is I want you to try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. And for this special offer, this piece of cake, folks. All you got to do is visit GoToMeeting.com, click on the Try It Free button, and use the promo code podcast. Remember to use the promo code podcast, GoToMeeting. Meeting is believing. Again, it's real easy to go over there and do that. All you got to do is go over to GoToMeeting.com, click on that try it free button, and remember to use that promo code podcast. And that's the really the best way to get started. And what we want you to do, we want to thank Citrix GoToMeeting for being a sponsor here at Geek News Central. All right, let's go ahead and get into the tech content that we have tonight. Make sure I've gotten through my full list. Oh, another thing. One thing I was going to say, you know, I don't have like a, I'm not this talented guy when it comes to creating intros and real cool stuff. And what I'm looking for, and we'll give someone mass props if they can build us this like rockin' CES video intro. It's got to be in 1080, you know, and we really wanted to do something just off the chart cool. If you are that guy or gal that can create something absolutely just will blow people's socks off, let me tell you what I'm looking for. I'm looking for like a 3 to 5 second little boom intro, which will then break for, hey, this is Todd, we're at a certain booth. Then it's going to go into another like 10 second or something, or maybe 15 second at max. Another little intro that introduces the network and some of the talent and all that stuff. And I just want something that's really awesome. And I'll be honest with you, when we know that Twit is not going to be at CES this year, at least with a broadcast booth. And I was always just kind of jealous of the graphics that they have been able to put together for their video intros. And, you know, out there somewhere in this audience, we've got someone that does some really cool stuff. And if you're a guy or gal that has those chops that wants to really get some, have us to pimp you out a lot and really, you know, pump you up, let me know. Let me see if we can work together. So drop me an email here, geeknews@gmail.com. All right, so let's go ahead and move into my stack of stuff. And boy, do I ever have a stack. Let's talk about emails and infidelity. Specifically, the now ex-director of the CIA, General Petraeus, retired. Now really retired. quite essentially got caught with his pants really down. And I'm trying to, there we go, got it to work. He basically, his lover that he was having a fling with, apparently she was sending some emails to places she shouldn't be sending them. And she was also his biographer. And I guess they were, you know, doing the dirty. But long story short here, they were not emailing back and forth, but they were sharing a single Gmail account. And I guess because the director was using a government computer, which is subject to monitoring at all times. Basically, when there was this investigation on this gal doing these threatening letters to, you know, someone else that the general knew. Long story short, the FBI got involved and basically found this kind of like this Dropbox email account. So basically what it was she had a login and he had a login, had same login. And what they were doing is they wouldn't send emails back and forth. They would compose an email, and then they would put it in draft mode so that the other person could come in and look at the draft. So that's kind of how they got busted, per se, I guess. But, you know, it just shocks me in this day and age when you have someone in that level. You know, and this guy had a distinguished, very, very distinguished career. And it amazes me that people think that if they're going to, you know, first of all, a digital trail and you are the director of the CIA, you know, that, you know, hello? It's incredible to me that they thought that they could get away with this and have this never be detected. And maybe they would have got away with it if she had not been sending out these emails to these other ladies. So long story short here, digitally was absolutely busted. So he is now a civilian. And needless to say that this probably has not went well for both families. But, you know, the beat goes on. It really, really does. But I think that, you know, irregardless of the whole affair, we won't get into that. Just the technical on how, what they were doing was interesting. And someone said this is how a lot of teenagers are sharing information back and forth without having email. They'll have boyfriend, girlfriend will have a Gmail account that they share together that they log into, put stuff in and draft. And basically they have a complete, you know, there's really no quote unquote emails going back and forth. So I'm never, that's the first I've heard of this. So maybe I'm completely out of the loop, but ask my son about it. Any of your friends do that? And he kind of looks at me and says, Dad, we text. We don't, you know, we can delete text. And I'm like, yeah, I know. But anyway, these emails busted them out. So anyway, that is that's what's going on there. And, you know, if you're going to do the dirty, don't have a digital email trail. And let's talk about something else that's just absolutely off the hook. Murder suspect John McAfee. Yes, the guy that's behind McAfee antivirus. wow. This is huge. And this is an article over on Wired. And he basically says, I'm innocent. But apparently, this guy lives in Belize. And the articles that I've been reading so far are simply off the hook. Apparently, and again, allegedly, his neighbor was shot, and the Belize authorities are saying that he did it, and are saying that John McAfee did. But John McAfee's saying that the Belize government was actually targeting him instead. Apparently, the night before, his dogs had been killed, and there's, you know, there's just this whole soap opera of information here. And if you read through what everything's being said, this guy is apparently pretty he's into these designer bath salts and that kind of stuff. And so he's obviously got some issues when it comes to drug abuse. But here we have a tech luminary that is now under investigation by the Belize government, and this guy's on the run. Himself in, so he says. But you know, it doesn't necessarily bode well when you're posing for a lot of pictures with guns and stuff. But it just goes to show you that there's something really. This is going to be a story that's going around for a while. He says he's been doing an interview with Wired, and he says, "You can say I'm paranoid about it, but they will kill me. There's no question. They've been trying to get to me for months." John McAfee. So, boy, oh boy, we'll see where this goes. We'll see if he escapes Belize and becomes a fugitive on the run. But the Belize government is saying he is suspect number one when it comes to this murder of his neighbor. The homicide victim is George Fall, a 52-year-old American expat who lives in these Ambergris Cay, an island off the coast of Belize. So anyway, long story short here, this is a story that's developing in the tech side. And then something a little more less gruesome, but yet just as troublesome. TechDirt is reporting that Senator Harry Reid wants once again to try to force a cybersecurity bill through Congress. And here's what's going on here. He's going to bring the Cybersecurity Act of 2012 to the floor at the end of next week after the Senate votes on Senator John Tester, Democrat of Montana, sportsman's bill, according to Senate aides. Last month, Senator Reid vowed to bring the cybersecurity bill to the floor in the lame duck session, saying that Republicans will have one more chance to back their words with action and work with us to pass a bill. I think they need to work on that financial cliff stuff before they worry about this cybersecurity bill. Let's get the fiscal house in order and get something figured out so that a whole bunch of Americans don't become unemployed come January 1st as they implement $100 billion worth of cuts and raise all our taxes. So we'll see. We'll see where this goes. But just to let you know, they're trying to push this thing through and won't be surprised if they get her done. You know, Groupon has been quite the poster child for not the way to run a business. Ever since their IPO, they have just gotten smashed month after month on their earnings. They have not done well. So Groupon stock has lost 90% of its value since its IPO. And today it fell another 5%, and that came after a 30% drop on Friday. So this is incredible. Last week, Groupon posted a quarterly loss of $3 million, which, although better than last year, has raised fundamental questions about its business model. And of course, its competitors, most notably Amazon Living Social, have also been struggling. So it just goes to show you that these deals that they're trying to push on us, these deals maybe not be going over as good as they used to. You know, that's maybe one of those fads that have come and gone. Do you participate in any of those deals? Do you look for deals on Groupon anymore? Is Groupon coupon something you even shop for? You know, I don't hear anybody talking about Groupon from a saving standpoint, being able to find good deals. So maybe that's a good part of the reason that they are they're crash and burning on their stock price. In new news, Apple has decided to give its employees some perks. And this is kind of an interesting move. Apple's told some employees about a new initiative called Blue Sky that allows a small group of staffers to spend a few weeks on a pet engineering project. And this is a more limited version of similar initiatives that have been going on with other companies for a long time. Of course, the most well-known is the Google 20% time, which allows employees to spend up to a fifth of their time on projects outside their normal responsibilities. So what's going on now is that new chief executive Tim Cook is introducing small corporate benefits that Steve Jobs resisted. And so this is an interesting move here. So this is a move to address longstanding gripes by the employees at Apple and basically giving them some flexibility in what they work on. And so they say this, you know, most of the employees are saying it's rather symbolic, hasn't resulted in big changes, but it is a move. Now, Apple's also been more aggressive in giving counter offers to employees that are thinking of leaving. So that's a sign that they're having to be a little more competitive. And they've also taken steps to basically work on the compensation packages during annual reviews to make sure that they're basically fit right to where going to keep employees around. So, you know, Apple shares have declined from their high of $702 in September to $542 today. And, you know, that's with two big product launches. But, you know, this falling stock could cause some employees to bail. We'll see over the time. But we'll see. We'll see where this leads. Some of the headhunters are out there saying that employees are answering calls that they're giving to these Apple employees. So maybe we're going to see some more people leaving Apple. Who knows? Now, in a bigger news story today, Windows, Microsoft, has lost one of their stars, Stephen, and I'm going to destroy his last name, Sinofsky, who drove Microsoft Office and then Windows development for many, many years now, has left today. He's out of there. And, you know, this guy's been pretty famous for delivering big time. And his departure comes a few weeks after his debut of Windows 8, which is a project he led. And but his role is going to be taken over by two women, which is interesting. Tammy Reller will take over on the business side of Windows, and Julie Larson-Green will direct Windows software and hardware engineering. So this is a big move, but no specific reasons on why he's leaving. But in a statement, he said, "It's impossible to count the blessings I've received over my years at Microsoft. I'm humbled by the professional and generosity of everyone. I've had the good fortune to work at this awesome company." So he's out, and these other two ladies are in. And the one lady, again, these are some folks that have been at Microsoft for a while that we're semi-familiar with and have seen them at different products launches and so forth. But Julie Larson Green is going to be the new head of Windows. So this is an interesting move. And it's interesting that they have replaced this guy with just not one person, but two. But two ladies are moving up the food ladder at Microsoft. Congratulations to them. We'll see where this leads for Microsoft. And, just I wonder if it's a sign of the times that maybe people aren't necessarily happy with the direction over there. Who knows? All right, I want to switch gears here a little bit. I want to talk about video. And there's a new study out. And this is kind of an interesting move. Now, I want you all just to think about this for a second. When you're online and you come to a website and you click the play button on the video, how long do you wait for the video to load before you bounce, before you go to another page? Well, the research has been done by a computer science professor at University of Massachusetts Amherst. And he basically studied data representing 23 million video views from 6.7 million unique visitors. And the study offered metrics for streaming views to complement existing studies describe the 4-second rule. And the 4-second rule is the amount of time people will wait for a web page to download. But here's what they're saying. They're saying that people will abandon a video faster based on their type of connection. People are more patient with mobile, but when it comes to fiber, cable, and DSL, if that video is not rolling in about 2 seconds, if it's not playing, you start to lose people very, very quickly. At about the 10-second level, you've lost 60% of the people that have clicked play if that video hasn't started. So that kind of gives you some insight. They're saying 2 seconds is the rule. So I said, okay, let's see how I stand up. And what I find is oftentimes is videos that I have put up that are fresh. When you hit play, 1, 2, about 3 seconds, they're playing. But videos that I've had that are older in the inventory, maybe not as high in the cache level at the CDN, when you hit play, they have a little bit longer ramp up period. So looking at how we can improve that, make sure that when you guys press play, you don't leave. There's some tricks we can do in the encoding. What I try to do with the encode for Geek News Central is I try to give enough buffer so that it loads enough buffer into your browser that when it does play, that it'll keep ahead of it. There's this fine line on how much of a buffer you can set. If you make it too small and you click play and your connection is a little bit shaky, you may get the, it'll stop. It'll sit there and spin. And I guarantee you, people do not put up with that. So, I kind of give a little bit bigger buffer on the video start so that you download more. Now, I notice on set-top boxes are notoriously slow, largely because they're oftentimes sitting distances away from the Wi-Fi router. So you've got that air gap. They're not wired. They're not as heavy from a performance standpoint of the processors in them. So it's oftentimes you're waiting for the videos, and that's even on Netflix. So maybe people are more patient with Netflix, but when it comes to web browsers, people are bouncing. They start leaving if the video doesn't start playing within 2 seconds. So, I just wonder, do you guys give podcasts a break, or when you're on, is this something indicative of YouTube? Because this show's an hour and 10, hour and 15 minutes long. So when I get done encoding, the video size on this is close to a gig. The HD version is like maybe 1.5, 1.6. And then the mobile version is about 300 megs, maybe 350. So It depends on what device you're looking at, but still, even on a mobile device, 350 megs is pretty big. But for you consider an hour and 15 minutes, we smash it as best we can. Those of you that are on audio, you guys could care less because the audio almost plays nearly instantaneous. But the video is definitely a lot slower. And it's one of the things I've told folks for a long time. You know, there's a lot of people that are unwilling to pay for the hosting of video because it's more expensive to host. And they have put their videos over on Ustream. And what we see from Ustream, they're really slow in loading when someone's trying to view them on a web page. So, you know, it's too bad. It really is that they've got that throttled unless you're using their player. But it'd be impacting some of these shows that are, you know, putting their videos on Ustream and then putting them on with their own player on their websites. So just wonder what you guys think. Love to hear your feedback. You can email me here, geeknews@gmail.com. Of course, you can call the hotline at 619-342-7365. All right. Sly Fox, hey, how you doing? It's in the chat room. Jacko, hey, how you doing? And welcome to the show tonight. How many texts do you send a month? I don't send that many. I maybe send 2 or 3 a day, maybe 4. Oftentimes, it's much less than that. I do when I'm at shows and stuff, send more a text. But the average U.S. mobile subscriber sent 696 text messages per month in the second quarter of this year. I think all the teenagers are driving the averages up because 696 text, you got to be kidding me. That's an incredible number. I've never seen this statistic before. But U.S. Mobile users are sending fewer text. And the last quarter, they only sent 678 per month. So this may be a sign of the times that things are changing. So there's a report out that mobile growth in the United States is slowing. SMS usage in the United States is slowing. If you're an iPhone user, when you send someone that's on an iPhone another text, it really doesn't go that way. It's not counted. Mobile data traffic is a cash cow for the mobile providers. But there's some interesting statistics going on. Now, they feel because there's a high mobile penetration levels in the United States already that many markets are starting to quote unquote stagnate. Now, they had 2.4 million new customers last quarter. And that doesn't, seems like a pretty healthy number. But what they're finding out is that 2 million of those were prepaid. Now, we're going prepaid here. My kids are due for new phones. Actually, they are right now. Their phones are in a drawer over here, locked up because they're grounded from their mobile phones for a couple of weeks. But when they get them back, and we're going to be getting ready to got one of them to have a birthday soon, so he's going to get a prepaid phone. Just cheaper in the long run, cheaper to buy the phone outright, but definitely a lower number. Now, AT&T apparently only added 400,000 while Sprint and T-Mobile lost 1 million subscribers each. So that just goes to show you that the people are switching and they're moving around and they're looking for better deals, especially when you got every family member wants a data plan. You know, it's much easier to be in a Virgin phone and be paying for like one price. It's going to be, it saved me a lot of money, especially when you have teenagers that want data, you know, they're growing up junkies, geek junkies here in the Cochran household. So what can I say? You know, father like son, daughter like, you know, dad so far. So, you know, I can't blame them. But they're getting to that age where all of a sudden now they're earning their phone. And they're going to be paying for their data plan each month. That's a new concept that they are getting used to, that they have to shell out some cash back. Well, basically, I'm already giving them money for doing odd jobs, and then they give me that money back. So it's a win-win, right? Doing a little e-commerce here at the Cochran household. So, and they're not, you know, doing jobs per se at a McDonald's or something like that. They're doing jobs for me and my wife. So we will, you know, we'll see how this works out. I don't know what we'll do if they aren't going to pay their bill. I guess I'll take their phone and throw it in the drawer again. But it's something we are progressing forward. Let's switch gears here and get off the mobile bit. We'll talk about Windows 8. Windows 8 is already getting some security patches. It's only 2 weeks old, but it's already in need of patching. And there's going to be first security updates will arrive tomorrow. So a patch Tuesday, you're going to get some. Those of you that have uploaded Windows 8 will have some new patches or some security patches and software updates. So be aware of that. You know, Apple's finding out that suing Samsung may not have been such a brilliant idea. And, you know, they won their first round in this patent fight against Samsung. But what Samsung has done is they've jacked up the price on a mobile processor supplied to Apple by 20%. Reports are noting that Apple pushed back initially, but after realizing it couldn't find a reasonable replacement, they agreed to the new price. I'm sure that won't last long because Apple will tell someone else to make it. But according to the report, Apple buys all APs used for production of iPhone and iPad from Samsung with their volume estimated 130 million units last year and more than 200 million units this year. So basically, Samsung has a long-term contract to supply APs to Apple until 2014. So that 20% will probably ultimately come back to bite Samsung, but they're going to get their $1 billion out of them one way or the other. All right, lots of patent trolls out there right now, and I'm not going to go in too much into depth, but it's become an epidemic where companies buy patents. They do nothing but sue people for cash, and there's been a lot of folks be very successful. And one of the ones that's going on right now, running in SSL mode, basically basically you log into a site and you go into secure socket layer. There's a company that has a patent on that, and they've just been racking up companies one after another. So if you don't have to run your site in SSL, it might be advisable not to do so. Once again, a viral video of a 9-year-old girl, football star, was taken down because of music. And once again, here we have a case of a fair use where a father was putting together a video of his daughter. And basically, the music that was in the video was rightly attached to it in a good way. He used Jane's Addiction, Covering the Doors, L.A. Woman, and The Germs. He used Beastie Boys, Soul Fire. And basically, the folks between Beastie Boys and Jane's Addiction, one of the two, or The Doors or The Germs, they basically chose to have the video taken down for copyright infringement. And so the father had to redo the video in some less than appealing music, and people are complaining that the new music sucked. So really, you know, what it is, you know, there's really no way to license music as a independent. You really can't, you know, if you want to put something in a video and it gets a 2 million views, there's really no way to, you know, to license it. But at this point, once again, you know, what you would think would be good for fair use, the copyright holders did not feel that way. So, you know, here's the thing. Just quit buying her doggone music, and maybe they'll wake up. Another thing that's going on in the world of copyright, Tim Hicks, a 25-year-old Australian with an interesting hobby. He basically has been going out and collecting service manuals for laptops. And he has a website that's called the Tim's Laptop Service Manual. And it's actually at tim.id.au. And again, it says a site that has basically laptop service manuals. And his site has over 50 gigs of manuals that are being pulled down every day. And a couple of days ago, he received a strong-worded cease and desist letter from Toshiba. Toshiba lawyers forced him to remove manuals for over 300 Toshiba laptops. And, of course, people are not happy about that. But really what it is the laptop manufacturers do not want any of us basically fixing a laptop that may have went bad. So what they do is they just, they don't make these manuals available. They try to keep them close to chest and only through authorized repair service centers. And he's been, you know, this guy's been pretty good at being able to find these manuals. And, you know, he's one of the good guys. His site is ad-free. It's only supported by donations. You know, Tim's website benefits everyone from service technicians to nonprofits like Computers for Schools. It also benefits a number of small and local businesses, since the manuals he posts fuel a number of repair shops, especially those during service after the warranty expires. And, you know, most local computer repair shops are not authorized by manufacturer to service computers within the warranty period. So these shops function independently of the big OEMs, much like a local automotive repair shop. So killing the manuals are killing those businesses. And, you know, in all honesty, some of these laptops are still viable pieces of hardware. And, you know, so, I don't know what he's going to do. I hope that he finds a way around this, or people just continue to make them available other places on the web. Anytime you have a company that's trying to stifle repair of their own gear, it should make you scratch your head just a little bit and consider whether Toshiba is a product you want to buy on your next laptop buy. All right, those of you that live in the... Whoops, let me back up. Why did that do that? All right. Accidentally loaded the wrong page. Over on AndroidCentral.com, they're reporting that there's going to be some new 4G LTE Verizon locations breaking out. If you live in Butte, Montana, Grand Junction, Colorado, Cody, Wyoming, Laramie, Wyoming, Rock Springs, Wyoming, Mount Vernon, Illinois, Lake of the Ozarks, Missouri, and cities in central Missouri, you're going to be getting 4G LTE starting on November 15th. So more cities being launched by Verizon. Hey, Verizon, how about Coldwater, Michigan? Or how about Quincy, Michigan? That would help my mom out a great deal. You know, last year at CES, we saw a lot of cool stuff coming to the iPad. Lots of apps tied to hardware. And I think this year is going to be the year where we're just going to see an explosion of apps that are tied back to physical devices. And we are going to have a new category this year on the Roku, on our Roku channel for CES, where we're going to have apps. And basically, we're going to have a couple of channels where we're going to have these specific types of products, where there's a piece of hardware that's basically tied to an iPad or an Android. Fender has unveiled what's called Squier USB Stratocaster. And basically what's going on is you can take your electric guitar and through a little adapter, you can plug into your iPad and basically it's use it as a basically like an amplifier. And we know that there's no shortage of instrument and peripherals to make GarageBand sing on iOS gear, but the folks at Fender has basically launched the USB-capable Squier Stratocaster. And it can plug into any quarter-inch jack or a computer's full USB port. And this extremely familiar electric guitar will strum its notes directly into any older iPad, iPhone, or iPod Touch through a pre-supplied 30-pin cable. Fender's $200 price puts the USB Squier well within reach of mobile musicians. So this is pretty cool. It's pretty slick. I'm sure they're going to have this at CES. I'm sure we'll get to see it, and we'll get Jeffrey to jam out on the guitar with it. But very, very cool stuff here by Fender. We'll just keep you advised. A lot more stuff like this is going to be coming on the scene as time goes on. Hey, Gogo has launched this next-gen in-flight internet with better speeds and more capacity. The folks at Engadget, CNET, and so forth were covering this today. And what they've been able to is increase the connection in their airborne internet. The connection will have a theoretical peak bandwidth of 9.8 megs per second, more than three times the current network, and uses EVDO Rev B as part of its backbone. And ATG4, which is this new protocol, is being rolled out on 25 aircraft to begin with, including planes operated by Virgin, Delta, and U.S. Airways. I heard United's going to get into the broadband sometime this year. They're severely slacking on that. Everyone else is beating them. They need to get busy. Hey, are you more than an amateur astronomer? Do you have connections with a university, or do you have access to a bigger telescope? DARPA is looking for you. DARPA Space View Program is enlisting amateurs and people that have access to satellites to track space debris, and they want to use basically existing hardware that's available that is looking at the sky to basically look for space debris and help them track all this stuff that's up there. With over 500,000 dead satellite spacecraft pieces and other human junk that we've thrown up there, they're a little overwhelmed at this point in trying to track all their hazards by itself. So it's recruiting so-called amateur help through its new Space View program. Definitely check this out. I have this link up in the show notes for you to check out. All right, this next product really intrigues me a lot. And I covered this before, but the folks over at Samsung have put together the Galaxy camera for AT&T, and it's going to be available on November 16th for $500. And this Galaxy camera is going to be pretty slick stuff. And again, it's I'm really looking at this in a big way because it's running Android. And this is going to be cool stuff. Now, you can buy this without a plan. You don't have to have a data plan. But, you know, what I really want, you know, and this could be the ticket. I really want a high-quality camera that will, you know, I can use my MiFi card, but it's a little quirky at times. But, man, I'd like to have a picture camera that just click, 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 and I would just be in my pocket and the pictures would just go. And I really wouldn't have to worry and get the good quality, you know, high pixel pictures. So I'm definitely going to be looking at this. If any of you have gotten your hands on one of these as a preview unit, I'd love to hear from you. But I'm, as soon as these are available, I'm going to be out and taking a peek. A little pricey, but yeah, has potential. All right, this is big news today. Big, 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 big news. Acer announces a $199 Chromebook. And as Alan says at Geek News Central, can you still resist? So today, Google and hardware maker Acer announced the latest Chromebook laptop, followed close on the heels of the recent Samsung release. Acer has undercut Samsung on the price by offering a $199 notebook and beating Samsung by $50. The Acer notebook has been officially named the C7 and packs some pretty cool specs. Has 11.6-inch display, Intel Core processor, boots up in 18 seconds, has a 320-gig hard drive, that's huge, 1080p video, 100-gig of free storage on Google Drive, and it only has about 3.5 hours of battery life. But I'll be honest with you, my Samsung Chromebook that I've had, the original one, it doesn't, the batteries burn pretty quick on that as well. So while Chromebook only runs Google Chrome operating system, and they're really not compatible with software like Microsoft Office, this is pretty slick what they've done here. But for $199, I tell you, that is tempting. It really is. And I like that it's got the 320-gig hard drive. That's something my original Chromebook really was missing. And it's big, folks. They've got the internal hard drive now. That was my biggest complaint. $199, going to have to hold me off. Lock up the credit card, put it. So anyway, that's the story on that. So we'll see how this sells. But I imagine it can sell pretty good at $199. You can't beat that price. All right, another article that was written on Geek News Central by, oh, this is another one by Alan. Did you guys hear about this? An Ohio attorney has been found guilty of creating digitally altered images for use in court. An Ohio attorney and former state prosecutor who describes himself as a computer expert has been found guilty in creating fake, now check this out, hold on to your hats, creating fake child porn images in an effort to defend people accused of child porn in two separate court cases. This guy purchased two stock images and digitally altered them to make them appear sexually explicit. On Friday, the Sixth Circuit Court found Boland guilty after the FBI became aware of him and began investigating his court use of faked explicit images. Boland used the images to argue two cases in Ohio and Oklahoma, saying it was impossible for a person who did not participate in the creation of the image to know that a child is an actual minor. So the federal judge has awarded the family of these pictures $300,000 in damages after that he was argued that he was immune from any civil lawsuits. But this has been going on for a while, since 2007. 5 years. This is incredible. So anyway, this guy, I don't know if he's going to get any jail time, but he definitely has to pay up in a big way for using images and altering them. And actually, the people that had their pictures altered was the one that were awarded the money. All right, is IE10 coming to Windows 7 tomorrow? I think preview is. So we will see, but we'll see if this is out. But the preview is supposed to be available tomorrow, and then it's going to be available for full release in a couple of days. So IE10 could be on the street as early as tomorrow. At least a preview will be. So very cool. All right. Remember all those folks that got big money to do YouTube channels? And, you know, YouTube spent a bunch of cash, like $100 million to sign like 100 shows. So that means they got like $1 million each. I can't imagine what I would do with $1 million to help with this show. We could do incredible things. Incredible. But YouTube is renewing less than 40% of its original content channels. And basically, they're going to give them millions of more dollars to produce shows for their site. And, you know, so what's going on here is 60% of the shows are getting the axe. They're not going to get any more money. And so YouTube is basically following a TV model. Those that succeed will get the cash. Those that don't, you're out of here. So this is big. And they basically said, hey, celebrities didn't matter. Sometimes the celebrities didn't pull big numbers. You know, there was all kinds of, you know, reasons that show succeeded or failed. So it'll be interesting to see which shows renew and get the cash again. You know, why isn't YouTube paying attention to us? I don't think people want to watch a tech show on YouTube, but we could do a tech variety show. We could do something. We could do a lot of fun stuff, but you know, a few million dollars, we could really do some incredible things. Incredible. You know, for $4 to $5, $6, $7 million, I could do some incredible stuff with Hawaiian content. A whole Hawaii lineup would be pretty incredible with that kind of money. All right, let's talk about an article over on paidcontent.org. This is kind of funny. It's called COD casting, Call of Duty casting. You know, what is the deal? How many of you guys like to watch someone else play Call of Duty? People are doing live streaming of video game play. And, you know, I'm kind of like, I don't, why would you, first of all, if you're going to play, just play, why do you want to watch someone else play? I guess to get tips and stuff. How many of you watch some of these podcasts that are actually doing that now. But I guess there's more stuff going on in YouTube where people are doing that more on YouTube as well. You know, spectator gaming. I guess if you're watching people play Call of Duty, I maybe it's a generational thing. I don't know. But, you know, there's a lot of folks who are doing stuff on Ustream like this. And, you know, own3d.tv is one of the sites that are, you know, doing a lot of this as well. But anyway, codcasting, not podcasting, codcasting, Call of Duty casting. Boy, talk about it. Boy, I'm sorry, paid content. That one was a little rough for me even. All right, in Japan, I'll admit, I tell you, I have a hard time. I'm really trying to behave and eat good. But, you know, my weakness in the morning is a soft drink. And I don't do well with the diet. And it's really horrible for me. And I've really worked hard in cutting down and drink a lot. I'm maybe like a one soda a day type of guy. Probably one soda too many. But Pepsi has put together a new product. It's called Pepsi Special. It blocks fat while letting you chug down sweet calories. So apparently there's a new variant of Pepsi called Pepsi Special that promises to block fat even while you're, you know, basically getting a soda there that is not, you know, basically bland and nothing in it. So what they've done is Pepsi explains that the special variant contains dextrin, which is a water-soluble fiber supplement that makes you feel full and absorbs less fat from the food that you're eating, kind of like some of the diet drinks that are currently on the market today. They don't talk about the amount of sugar in the drink, but this seems kind of like a roundabout way to lose weight. It's available in Japan through about $2 a pop starting on November 13th. So we'll see where this leads, but won't be long. This will be in the United States if it takes off over there. I want to talk about another article over in Japan as well, and this was on the website japantoday.com, and what they're talking about is basically a month after this download law, and of course we talked about this on this show, consumers are now spending less on music. So basically, on October 1st, if you knowingly downloaded copyrighted music and video in Japan and did it illegally, basically you could be punished by up to 2 years in prison and a 2 million yen penalty. Now, that's a huge amount of cash. So what's going on here? Since the law came into effect, there have been some changes, and many internet users have become reluctant to click any download button for fear of receiving a hefty fine. And what's going on now is that the number of people that are not paying for anything says that a consumer survey showed that more than 68% of respondents spent 0 yen, or in other words, $0 on music in the past month. And that's the highest the figure has been in almost 10 years. So people are basically are scared and they don't want to do it. Some people are saying listening via YouTube is enough for me. Another person said, since they got so strict about downloads, I actually don't feel like buying new music. Another person says, I usually buy about 100 songs a year, but more often than not, I get them from foreign stores. Music here is too expensive. So interesting move there. So maybe this is going to backfire in Japan. We will see how this goes over time. So we'll keep an eye on it. All right, Time Magazine has named Google Glasses a best invention of 2012. Okay, it's not available for the public yet, but Google Glasses, the wearable computing system that's still months away from being delivered to early developers, has made Time Magazine's list of best inventions of 2012. So it joins an interesting list of items that includes indoor clouds, a toy that turns an iPhone into a virtual dog, and, of course, the Mars Curiosity rover. So we know that Google Glasses probably will not make it until 2014, But there's all kinds of stuff here. Body armor for women, self-inflating tires, the MakerBot Replicator 2, which is really cool, the Sony RX100 digital camera. They're raving about this thing. But on and on here. Lots of cool things that made their list. I'll have the link up in the show notes for you. What happened there? Let's back up. Okay, there we go. I have the link up in the show notes for you to check out. Oh, I closed the wrong one. Reopen, close tab. Thank you very much, Chrome. All right, switching gears here. .com, not to be outdone, he's basically made a new statement that his basically he's going to have a lobbyist-proof Kiwi domain for the new mega site. And basically, he's going to move forward, and he is going to launch the mega site at mega.co.nz. He says, picking a Kiwi domain makes perfect sense is something we discussed here internally last week. .com's popularity is riding high in New Zealand, as the entrepreneur informed us this morning. He has complete confidence in the legal system in New Zealand. And he says, the judiciary in New Zealand works. Judges are independent and not influenced by politics. That has been our experience so far, .com told TorrentFreak.com. So this is very good. He says he feels that the new mega will operate completely legally, and therefore the service will be protected under New Zealand's law. He says lobbyists, he says, can't do anything about that. He says Prime Minister John Kaye can have as many dinners with Hollywood executives at copyright lobbyists as he likes. The simple fact that the New Zealand government, which has been acting like a subsidiary of the U.S. government, is not above the law. So we'll see how he does on this. All right, if you're using Torrent, it's now ad-supported. There's instructions on how to disable it. But, you know, hey, help the folks out at Torrent, at bittorrent.com. You know, the UTorrent folks, you know, they got to figure out a way to make money. If you're using UTorrent, you know, don't disable the ads. Help these guys make some money, you know, so they can keep developing software. You know, the folks that use BitTorrent, they're so against paying for anything. But, you know, don't bite the hand that's feeding you right now. All right, Pirate Bay founder arrested again on suspicion of new hacking and fraud offenses. Now, Gottfried Svartholm, and I just destroyed that, Svartholm. Anyway, the guy from Pirate Bay. Basically, all right, someone answer the phone, please. There we go. He's being detained in Sweden, and he's been locked up 23 hours a day in solitary confinement. He's been going back to court every 2 weeks, and basically every second week there are additional court hearings where the prosecutor in the case asks that he be held in custody for another 2 weeks while the case develops. But today, they presented new acquisitions against him, namely that he was involved in a second case of criminal hacking, including 4 instances of serious fraud and 4 instances of attempted fraud. So, you know, they're doing everything they can to keep this guy locked up, and they're probably going to be successful for a while. So he remains behind bars. All right, Usenet. Many of you probably don't even know what Usenet is. Some of you super geeks out there that have been on the internet for a while know. But Usenet is feeling the heat as copyright holders are basically trying to remove content as well. Many of you know that Usenet is quite the haven for binaries. Binaries are basically multiple files that are uploaded that you resequence back together to make a program similar to being downloaded, that you would download a movie, but a little different. But I guess the copyright folks are going after uTorrent in a big, big way. So there's an article about that. I'll have that link up in the show notes for you to review. There's also a survey that was done on the Pirate Bay, and it's been found that through a survey that was held where they had 75,000 people from all over the world, they found that close to 70% of all Pirate Bay users are interested or are already hiding their IP addresses. According to the research, the high interest in anonymizing services among file sharers is a direct response to anti-piracy initiatives. So the researcher also found that of all respondents, 17.8% already make efforts to hide their IP address from the rest of the internet. Another 51.4% do not use anonymizing services, but showing interest in signing up for one. They're saying that most are using VPNs and proxies, and that they feel that those will increase as a direct result of copyright enforcement and piracy monitoring. So we'll have the full link up to that survey in the show notes for you to check out. All right, rolling down here, last couple of articles tonight. You want to watch a solar eclipse tomorrow? Well, you have to be in northern Australia and in certain areas of the Pacific. The eclipse is supposed to start at 3:35 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time tomorrow. And basically, there's going to be a live feed from Cairns, Australia. And folks at down there say that it should be a pretty stunning event. And there's also people in North Queensland that's going to be available, that there's going to be a stream there as well. So a link is up in the show notes for you when we post the show tonight. Hey, how many of you have ever wanted to carry an adult beverage into an event where they charge you an arm and a leg for an adult beverage? Well, they've got a new jacket out. It's an insulated jacket, keeps you warm and your adult beverage cool. Costs $105. It's called the Beer Hunter Jacket. And so it basically provides you, you're a walking cooler, essentially. So I don't know. It's, you know, when it's wintertime, when it's cold, you don't want to have a cold beverage in there. You want to have something that's going to warm you up, right? But anyway, this jacket is available. $105. You can go out there and pick one up. Hey, Scoble's got a pretty good article on the war on noise, and basically everything is coming at us. Twitter, Facebook, Google+, all the stuff that's generating noise, the digital noise. And he talks about his challenge in basically filtering the noise. So if you feel like you're getting a little overwhelmed, this might be a great article for you to read and review. But I find it pretty incredible. He says he's got 1,500 filters on his Gmail account to scrub the junk, which is pretty incredible. I just wonder how much of his valid email gets bounced. Hey, France is reporting that Amazon owes $252 million in back taxes. Basically, Amazon is saying, no, we don't, and they're fighting it. And it said that this is basically taxes accumulated from 2006 to 2010, $252 million. All right, article over on webmonkey.com, Mozilla's Popcorn. You guys hear about this? Mozilla has reached Popcorn Maker 1.0, the company's mashup creating video editing suite. For the web, Popcorn Makers makes it easy to pull just about any content on the web into a video container you can then publish back to the web. So I'm sure this is going to cause a lot more takedowns and stuff. Popcorn Makers available from Mozilla. So if you want to see some examples of how it works, and of course I'll have the link up to the show notes on here at geeknewscentral.com, or actually over at gncshownotes.com. All right, last article. Look out here, folks. New York Randy Zuckerberg is casting for a new tech-centric Bravo show set in the Big Apple. 634,000 people tuned into last week's premiere of Startup, Silicon Valley's new minted Bravo TV show. So Randy has her sights set on New York. And according to the Wall Street Journal, basically Bravo and the production house responsible for Startup's Den of Thieves have all confirmed that they're planning a tech-focused show in NYC. It won't be a Startup's reboot for the Manhattan set, but according to the Journal, Ms. Zuckerberg and her team are looking to expand and see what techie opportunities there are. Hey, come on over to Honolulu, Randy. And anyway, that's going to wrap me up for regular content tonight. Let me load the email and see what we had come in. And I don't know how much email we've got in the stack tonight. But hey, Nigel, welcome to the show tonight. Thanks for being here. And let me see what I've got. Boom, boom, boom. Should have had this open. How are we doing on time? Oh, man, we're got to wrap this up here. All right, got an email from Tim. He says, hey, Todd, here's how easy it to use Windows 8. And there's a YouTube video of someone using Windows 8 when they have had a few too many drinks. So have that link up in the show notes. Got another email from Tim. He says, hey, Todd, Google makes more money from ads than all print media combined. It's a CNET article. So I have those link up in the show notes for you. Did not check the hotline tonight. I should have done that. I apologize. But everyone, thanks for being here. Thanks for being part of the family. Thanks for staying subscribed to the show. And more importantly, hey, thanks for supporting our sponsors. Thanks for going out there and picking up GoDaddy products, whether it be domain names, hosting accounts. And, you know, GoDaddy makes a great Christmas present. You know why? Give something this season, this Christmas season, that people can use and have as something that will continue to pay them back over time. You know, set your family member up with a blog. Buy a domain name for your kids. You know, there's lots of things you can do. And it's kind of makes a kind of a cool digital gift. It's very inexpensive to get started. And definitely check out GoDaddy.com. Check out all my promo codes at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Don't forget, of course, we want you to try Citrix GoToMeeting with HD Faces. Give that a try. Don't forget to use that promo code podcast. Hey, otherwise, make sure that you reach out to me here via email, geeknews@gmail.com. The Twitter address, of course, is @geeknews. And, of course, our voicemail hotline is 619-342-7365. You also can leave a comment directly at the Geek News Central website. You can see send message right on the main page. And we appreciate when you do that. It gives us feedback on how we're doing here on the show. Hey, it's been my pleasure to bring you the show tonight. And don't forget, which day should I do? Should I do December 15th or November 24th for a 24-hour show? Love to hear your feedback. Send that to me as quick as you can. And you tell me which day you think's the best. I'm leaning at this point on December 15th. But just gives me a little extra time to get it around with all the craziness that is happening around here. Again, it's been my pleasure bringing the show to you tonight. Everyone, take care. Thanks for being here. Till next time, aloha.